Podcast. I'm Adam Barrow.
I'm Benjamin Richardson.
Today we're going to be discussing the 1992 debut by American indie rock band Pavement.
Pavement is led by lead vocalist and guitarist Stephen Malkmus, and
Scott Canberg is the guitarist and other main creative force in the group. So Ben, what's your favorite song on this album?
That's very hard. I'd have to say it's In the Mouth of the Desert. I love the lyrics on that track.
Yeah, so like the lyrics, like to me, like I kind of interpret In the Mouth of the Desert as like self-exploratory, I guess. Like kind of thinking about like self-identity and purpose. Like I've been crowned the king of it, and it
and
is, all,
it
we
is all we have. That is like, yeah. One of my favorite lines off the album.
Yeah, like kind of questioning what your purpose is, I guess.
Right. To be quite honest, like on this album, it's kind of hard for me to look really deep into the lyrics.
Yeah, they are somewhat like stupid.
Because sometimes the songs have like a consistent theme, and then sometimes they just don't.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, they're definitely very, like, and this is a big part of the charm of Pavement for me. Like, they're very like sly, I guess is a way to describe it.
Yeah.
Like they don't take themselves seriously at all, and it like they kind of seem like almost everything they say, it's kind of like with a wink.
Exactly.
That's how I interpret it.
It definitely has like a. Like a chilled out vibe to it.
Yeah, I mean, you really commonly see it described as slacker rock.
Right. Could you elaborate on what slacker rock is?
I think it's like we said. It's just kind of the atmosphere and the general
like low, tone. Like laid back vocal deliveries, yeah. Laid back guitar tones, like sometimes crappy production. Like on this album, speaking of which, has very poor production. I'd say.
Yeah, it's definitely
very lo-fi.
Yeah,
in
very
a way.
Very DIY.
Right, like the
low sound quality,
the guitar tones. The way I describe it, it just sounds like the smallest amps like ever.
Yeah,
they sound so like thin and cruddy and boxy.
Yeah, like there are songs where it just sounds like a wave almost. It's
just
like
of,
it's just like
of
it's
noise.
Like noise crashing down on you instead of like actual like they're playing and it like has a nice melody and stuff.
Right,
but it's just like the production is so bad and there's so much feedback. It just sounds like a
right.
Wave crashing
it almost sounds like shoegaze. I remember you saying
at times, yeah, like
unintentionally perhaps,
yeah,
but
Fame Thrower to me, like the hook where it's well, okay, I might be getting my tracks mixed up. Is it Perfume V or Fame Thrower with the She's Got the Radioactive?
It's Perfume.
Perfume V, yeah, that one on the
or
hook.
Is it Perfume 5?
You know, it might be Perfume 5. I've always said it in my head as Perfume V.
I really like that track because of the lyrics. I'm pretty sure it's talking about, like, an ex-girlfriend, like, ruining your stuff. It says, like, slashing your something and, like, putting perfume all over the rugs.
Yeah. But then the hook is, she's got the radioactive and it makes me feel okay.
I'm not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel okay. And then it's like, the guitar is, like, just so... Like, it sounds like a shoegaze song, almost, on the hook there.
Right.
I think that's a really, really cool song. That's one of the highlights of the back half to me, for sure.
I'd say the whole back half is kind of a highlight to me.
Really?
Like, I like the later stretch of the album, second half.
I think
it's so good.
Like, I don't think this is actually like the side division, but I think of like post... So track 9 is Here, which is like a really, really slow... Almost slowcore. Almost.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like a gorgeous little like ballad almost, like very reflective. I think of like the 5 songs after Here. I think of that as kind of like a run. That's kind of how I've always looked at the album.
All right, I can see that.
So 2 states to our singer.
Right. Yeah.
So 2 states. That's the only song written and sung by Scott Canberg, the other guitarist.
Yeah, and you'll notice that the vocals obviously sound a little bit different. The style.
And that's
a little
song,
bit more punky, I'd say, his vocal.
Yeah, and that's a little, like that track's like bouncy.
Mm-hmm. I'd say this album definitely has like danceable tracks.
Yeah, I mean
it's a little
very,
danceable.
Like, it's very tonally consistent. And that's kind of a theme with a lot of my favorite albums. Like, it's very tonally consistent with like the slacker vibe, I guess. But it's very stylistically diverse as well.
Right. That's interesting. Like, it has like a consistent aesthetic.
Yeah.
But it has many different styles thrown in that.
A good amount of styles. Like, our singer is a pretty like laid back.
Right, very, very spacey, and very, very spacey. And something to note about that, which I enjoy, is like the interesting tuning in the guitar. It sounds like all like one note, all the way through the strings, which is very interesting. Like stuff you see in Glenn Branca's compositions, obviously. So that's really interesting. A nod to that. I love that track. The drums on it are very nice. It's almost just like drums and the, like very sparse guitar strums in between the very bleak lyrics on that.
Yeah, and Malcolmus, that's like kind of the peak of his like just kind of lackadaisical vocal delivery to me.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Like yeah.
I really like his.
What does he say? He's like dreaming. He's like spaced out, but I'm dreaming. Yeah, I really love that line.
Yeah, very nice closer. Really ties the album together well for me.
Right. Yeah.
So, I'll answer my own question.
Yeah. What's your favorite track off of this album?
It's very hard for me to pick. Like, I have a really hard time picking. I'm not gonna cheat and go with two. I'll talk about my second favorite, but I am gonna pick track six, "Zurich Is Stained." As my favorite song. It's like a little like alt country almost.
A little bit. It's got like this kind of like wiggly vibe in the guitar. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I think some slide going on in there too. That's why you say country, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, it's only a minute 41. Just a beautiful little pop song.
Like the hook. Yeah. Zurich is stained.
But it's not my fault. I'm not one half of the problem.
Oh yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Some of my favorite lyrics on that one too. Sha la la la, like after that, that's very just a nice. Beautiful little song. I just really enjoy when that song comes up in the album.
Yeah, that's a highlight for you.
Yeah, for sure.
I can get behind that.
And then I gotta go. Summer Babe, Winter Version. The opener. Really? I love that song.
I like that a lot. I'd say like that one. I don't know. It's very like kind of a. I don't know. I don't know if that one's my favorite at all.
Really?
I'd say it's one of the weaker ones for me.
Really? To me, that's like quintessential Pavement. Like that's like the song I think of when I think of early Pavement.
Really?
Yeah. That just like really encapsulates
Summer,
their style.
Babe. I can get behind that.
It really encapsulates their style really well.
For sure. So it says Winter Version. Is there like another version?
I actually don't know. So I know Summer Babe was released as a single.
Yeah, it seems like a single.
Like a year or two before. But I don't know if the Winter Version actually denotes a different version, or if it's just like it's like a tongue in cheek, like it's Summer Bay, but Winter Version. Like I don't know if that's just a tongue in cheek thing, or if that's actually denoting a different.
And version. What would be the significance of that? If so, like, what does that even mean? Winter Version? Like they wrote it in the winter, maybe about the summer.
Yeah. I've always interpreted it as just kind of like a funny little aside.
Right, and you'll notice the tracks do have like interesting names.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first read through the track list, "In the Mouth of a Desert," that's what I thought it said, but it's "In the Mouth a Desert."
Yeah, "In the Mouth a Desert" track.
And,
that's actually, I never really thought about that. They're very interesting song titles. I mean, so it's track 13, the penultimate track is "Jackals, False Grails, colon, The Lonesome Era."
Yeah.
I do not know what that means.
Yeah, and that song kind of has like isn't it like a medieval, like, theme? It's talking about, like the village, like, celebrity or something. I don't know. You'll have to read the lyrics, but it's kind of like, it's kind of an interesting subject matter. Yeah,
one of our first recruits.
Yeah, you'll have to read them. It's really weird.
Yeah. And then like Chesley's little wrists, conduit for sale! !
Oh yeah, I love the like the spoken word that's going on like in the middle of the singing. It's very interesting. It's almost like chaotic. That song is
so
very,
noisy.
Very
so
like
much going
tense
on
almost.
Song. Yeah. So like kind of the way I look at like the first part of it. So, like "Summer Babe" and "Summer Babe" Winter Version is the first song. "Trigger Cut" / "Wounded Kite" at 17 is the second song. And that's a great song. I'll come back to that.
Right. Okay.
But then, so then it goes like it almost alternates like kind of goofy off the wall stuff with like more serious songs.
Exactly.
Like "No Life."
I was gonna comment
so
on
like,
that.
"No Life Sinister," which is like it has like it's like a normal song almost, but then it's just like just Malcolmus just breaks in just screaming expletives and they just go really hard in the guitar and drums and it goes back to the song. I think and that's only like in a span of 2 minutes and they do it like four different times. And that's like a really chaotic song. And then "In the Mouth of Desert," which Ben already talked about, pretty normal song. And then "Conduit for Sale," it's like a guy doing auction.
No
like,
one's here to save us.
Yeah. And that song is like a fun little
That might be one of my favorites on the... I love like... a point that I really enjoy is when those backing vocals come in on that track, yeah. And you get that.
Yeah.
I just find that like so catchy and like off kilter with like the super tense like.
And then the guitar comes in roaring like I'm trying.
I'm trying. What a hook!
That's a really cool song. It's so like it makes me move. Like it's a nice little scuttle with the bass and the guitar and the drums.
It's very funky rhythm going on there.
And then Zurich is stained, and then Chesley's little wrists, which is like. Like a quasi instrumental.
Yeah, I'd call that like doesn't have some lyrics, but I'm more thinking of that as like a short instrumental like interlude.
It's mostly like the singing, I guess, is just Malcolm's vocalizing. Really, it's not like lyrics of any significance. And then it goes to "The Red Is Scars," which is
I love that track.
Beautiful song.
Yeah. The Red Is Scars.
And that's kind of like a recurring thing. Like the guitar and the bass and the drums will kind of all like be like doing the same thing, I guess. It'll kind of sound like shuffling around almost. All
right.
Like on the hook. Like dun 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 dun.
Oh, I'm enjoying that really like crunchy guitar tone comes in. Dun, 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 in the background. Very nice.
Yeah, very like the melody on the hook there is beautiful.
Oh, for sure.
Like the way he says Loretta.
Loretta's.
Yeah, I love that song. And then it goes into Here.
Here might also be one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah, Here is like we kind of touched on that earlier, but Here is like it's very melancholy.
I'd say it's probably the most pretty song on the
Yeah,
maybe the slowest even.
Oh, I'd say it's slowest. Yeah. I mean, it verges on feeling out of place, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like a little gem in the it's very unique.
Yeah.
I like the lyrics about, like, what is he, like, talking about, like, I only laugh at your jokes, like, your jokes aren't funny.
It's like, you're the only one that laughs, like, I'm the only one that laughs at your jokes when they are so bad.
I love
that
line.
The jokes are always bad.
Yeah. That's so funny, like, when you're trying to impress somebody, it's like, you're just gonna laugh at everything they say.
Like, to me, like, I've always associated that, like, that's like the exact type of music you would hear in like a teen coming of age.
That's what I'm saying. Like that just seems like something such a teenager would enjoy.
Yeah, it's very heartfelt to me. Like I feel like that's probably the most. Like,
yeah, it is a little
most sincere,
right?
And like least tongue in cheek song on the album.
Yeah, I find the lyrics in general. Now that I'm thinking about it, they're all pretty youthful.
Yeah.
I was dressed for success. It's just like a little whiny, you know.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, and that's like, and you kind of hit on what I love about this album so much. Like, it has like amazing songs, amazing melodies. The songwriting is pretty solid. Guitar is pretty great throughout.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but like the main thing that really, really, really appeals, what am I talking about? That really makes me love this album is just so like charming.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just so much like energy and like I don't know if like lack of self-awareness is the right term, but lack of like worrying about yourself,
right? Like, it's very free form.
Yeah
it has an identity for sure. It has like like you said, it's just like the aesthetic all the way through is like it's very unique.
Yeah, it's just like Malcolm just radiates like cool like all the way throughout. Like Malcolm just seems really cool.
Like, if I was a 90s kid, I'd want to hang out with this guy.
Exactly. I think the lo-fi production really contributes to that. Like, there's how charming it is. Like, how rough around the edges.
For real. I think, like, the music, it's so well-written that it's almost like something I don't even notice. It's just part of the music, like, because of the songwriting. And you're right, it does add that little charm to it. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, it's like the big debate. Which Pavement album is better?
Yeah.
Okay. Debut or...
So, their follow-up album is called Crooked Rain. And, alright.
And I feel like there, that is the fan favorite.
Probably. If we're going there, I am going to pick Crooked Rain. Crooked Rain, to me, retains a lot of the charm. I think the songwriting is probably a little improved.
Okay.
It's not as lo-fi. It goes in like slightly more of a
jangle
pop.
That sounds so much better. Yeah. Like that album, as far as production goes.
They got a real studio.
they went
more of a jangly direction.
Okay.
And to me, like they're so close. Like I'd put both of them probably like close to perfect albums. But what puts Crooked Rain over the edge for me is Gold Sounds.
Okay, that might be a top 10 song for me, like, just period.
Like, that's what I was about to say. Like, if you, if like, depending on the day, if you ask me to tell you my favorite song ever, like, depending on the day, I might say Gold Sounds. Like, that's how much I like Gold
Sounds. That's so interesting. We haven't talked about that before, but that's probably one of my favorite songs ever. I mean, just something about that. And the melody.
It's so beautiful. I love Gold Sounds so much.
That's very fair. I mean, you can almost put Crooked Rain, like, over it just because of that one song.
Yeah.
Even.
And it's uniformly very good, just like this one.
So, the reason why I put this one way better is I feel like...
Slanted and Enchanted?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put Slanted and Enchanted over, for sure. But... I think I like the songwriting better in Slanted and Enchanted. I think in Crooked Rain, some of the instrumental breaks are a little bit longer. I do think, like, the guitar work is working a little bit together in that album.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the rough vibe to the original. I like the shorter song structures, like, the more variety. I think it has more character, the first one. And there's some moments on Crooked Rain, that I don't enjoy. Like, some of the instrumental breaks are a little long for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guitars are, like, out of tune on some of the songs.
Hmm. I know you and I have discussed this before, but... 5 - 4 = Unity, the Dave Brubeck. I know you're not a huge fan of that one.
Like, that song just might as well not be on that album.
Yeah, it's like a...
Because when I was listening to it, I was like, when's, like, the part where, like, the cover's gonna happen? Like, it just sounds like they played, like, the main riff and didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Like, where's the guitar solo?
I was just scratching
my head after that.
That's the thing, like, that's kind of a recurring thing for me. Like, little instrumentals... like, being boring, like, that honestly doesn't always deter me too much. Like, if there's a lot of them, but, like, I can almost ignore, like, something like 5 - 4 = Unity.
Right, and in an album context, it's definitely not unbearable.
Yeah, not that
big of a deal. It's definitely just in there, but...
I mean, to be honest, kind of like Chessie's Little Wrists here on Slanted and Enchanted. I think that one is more interesting. Like, the guitar is kind of, like, crazy.
Like, yeah, and at the end, like, the hectic, like percussion that's going on. Yeah. The the octave fuzz. I think that's what it is on there.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Like, it's pretty good, but it's ultimately kind of inconsequential.
And I'm trying to find the song. It's one on Crooked Rain. Like, there's, like, this, it's, like, this pause, and he plays, like, this 7-chord. Kind of has, like, a Radiohead vibe, almost. But, there's, like, this part where it's, like, there's, like, a pause in the music, and I'm pretty sure they just didn't count it. Like, they must have cued it. When I'm listening to that, I'm like tapping my foot, and then it just comes in, like on a different part, and I'm like... and it's just something, like, I noticed. Maybe they're counting it some other way, but I don't like that part at all. Like, it bothers me a lot.
Yeah. So you'd say, like... I guess I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, the less than perfect musicianship is less charming on Crooked Rain.
Right, and I feel like it's kind of, like, taking on that. Almost. It's like, if you're gonna have, like, these long instrumental and, like, these guitar, like, like the one where it's just, like, he's going through these arpeggios and he's not hitting the rhythms perfect, and
some of the song, like, there's an, like, the opening run before, yeah, like, the opening, like, 3 or 4 song run, it's kind of more, like, longer instrumental breaks focused, I guess, and it's like, yeah, typically if I'm gonna listen to something like that, I'd probably want, like, slightly more talented musicians.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not, like, the biggest deal. It's not like I'm just, like...
Yeah. I still think those songs are very good, though. I kind of agree with you. Like, I think a lot of the charm that's still in Crooked Rain comes from Malkmus. Like, I think he's, like, kind of the shining star of both albums. I think Slanted and Enchanted has a little more charm, like we said earlier, just because it has that rough around the edges quality that Crooked Rain kind of loses when they get a little cleaner.
Right, and I just prefer that listen a lot more. That one goes by a lot faster for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one, Slanted and Enchanted is 14 songs and only 39 minutes. A lot of the songs are really short here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is something I really enjoy, actually. Yeah. Like, a little bit varied strong
structure. Yeah, like, In the Mouth and Here are, like, both push 4 minutes, and then there are songs that are, like, a minute, like, minute 30.
Right, of the instrumental.
Yeah, it doesn't get stale.
Right, which I really enjoy. Yeah, I don't know, just about preference, like what kind of songwriting you enjoy more.
Yeah,
so
I agree. So, and you would agree with me that you would put these two at the top of Pavement's discography, at least of what you heard.
Right, so I'll admit that I'm pretty new to the Pavement bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I've only listened to their first three records.
Yeah.
And especially their first two. I've listened to those more than anything else.
Yeah. So that's the same with me. I've only listened to Wowie Zowie a couple times. I think it's really good. But I think their first two are head and shoulders above it.
Right. Because these albums, like you said they were nearing perfect in your opinion.
Yeah. Like these two I've discovered like a really long time ago. Like this, right. Like this is before like I really got into rock music like a lot. Like I knew of Pavement somehow just from like online lists or whatever. And I just really really like connected with Pavement. Like I've been listening to them since early in middle school.
Right.
So like Slanted and Enchanted and Crooked Rain both have like really special places in my heart. Like I'll always really really like these albums.
Do you think it's because of like how we were talking about how the lyrics can be appealing to like adolescents? Do you think that might have to do with it?
It might be. Yeah.
Like I know like and especially
we're still in adolescents.
Very true. Crooked Rain. I think of like Silent Kid being like a classic.
Yeah.
Like anthem for nerdy kids almost.
Yeah, probably.
Silent Kid.
Yeah, very nice. I think I've always just found their kind of sense of humor appealing.
Their vibe, their atmosphere,
the slyness.
Right.
Yeah.
They definitely sound 100% like themselves. It's very awesome.
Yeah, they're very, especially on this album, they're very unapologetically Pavement.
And that's why I gotta put it above. It's the most Pavement album.
Yeah, I can absolutely get behind that.
For sure.
Well, all right. Shorter episode today, but I think that does it for our discussion of Pavement's Slanted and Enchanted. Definitely give this album a listen, guys, if you like indie rock of any era. Highly recommend.
Check it out, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening.